we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Christian cliches, the kinds of things that we say all the time that have some truth to them, but maybe not completely true. The last couple of weeks, we've looked at the saying that everything happens for a reason, and then the saying that God helps those who help themselves. We've been having some great conversations about these topics in our Wednesday night sermon discussion group. If you are feeling moved by these, would like to talk more about any of these topics, or interested to hear what other people have to say, I'd encourage you to come on Wednesdays at 7 downstairs. Chris Matchett's been leading a great discussion on that, so I'd encourage you to be here. Today we're talking about the Christian cliche, the belief that God won't give you more than you can handle. We've all heard it before. You're going through a tough time, things aren't going your way, you're running out of steam, and somebody with the best of intention comes up to you and says, you know, I know it's tough, but don't worry about it. It'll all work out okay, because God won't give you more than you can bear, so it'll turn out okay in the end. It's always something that's said out of love. It's meant to be comforting, but I wonder if it's true. Today I want to share with you two scriptures that help shed light on this common reassurance that we hear every day as we try to discern what parts are of God and what parts maybe he'd be encouraging us to let go of. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." And then from Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God won't give you more than you can handle. A familiar saying, something we've all said and heard before. But what do we mean by it? And is this biblical? When asked to give biblical foundations for this adage, oftentimes people turn to 1 Corinthians 10 that we just read before. And they take that the words, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man," and that "he will not let you be tempted more than you can bear," to mean that God won't test us or give us more than we can take. And that's oftentimes where we get this idea that God won't give you more than you can handle. But this passage isn't as straightforward as we like to think it is. And there's some difficulty in translating this passage from the original Greek into our English Bibles today. And we see different translations of the Bible translating this differently because there is so much confusion. The confusion comes from the Greek word parosimo, which here is translated as temptation, being tested or tried, but it can also have this idea of being tested versus being tempted. And there's a big distinction between these two words, and though it is translated both ways in the New Testament and here in this passage, it's important for us to figure out what the original meaning was, what the author was trying to teach his readers, and what God is trying to teach us today through it. Just like in translating in English, you find words with multiple meanings or multiple nuances. So we run into the same thing in Greek, in the languages that the Bible was written in. So we have to carefully discern what meaning the author meant it to have. And the difference between being tested and being tempted is very great. Being tested implies that you're going through trials, that you're going through a hardship, that your faith is being put to the test and you're trying to withstand something great. Being tempted, on the other hand, is resisting sin. It's holding back from an urge. It's not giving in to something your heart desires, but restraining ourselves. And when we look at the broader context of 1 Corinthians 10, we see that Paul is talking about the definition of being tempted, about resisting sin. When you look at the whole passage, we see that Paul is talking to new Christians who have just started to follow God and are struggling with what it looks like to live in their old situations, surrounded by their old temptations. And you see that Paul warns against falling into behavior not suited for a Christ follower. And he says, don't fall into idolatry or sexual immorality. Don't grumble. Don't test the Lord. He's warning people to resist things, to say no to worldly temptations, to say no to sin. It's in this context that he reminds us that we're to stand firm in our faith so that we're careful we don't fall. And this is where he goes on and says that no temptation has seized you, but God is faithful and he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So here Paul is not talking about resisting. He's not talking about holding off a great burden or being tried in your faith, but he's talking about not being tempted in your faith, not being lured into false behavior or unhealthy patterns. And it becomes clear that Paul's giving us instruction on right living, and he's encouraging us and telling us that we can withstand these temptations. And we find in the Bible that God is not reassuring us that we won't go through trials, that we won't be tested, that we won't have hard times. But he's telling us that we won't be tempted more than we can handle, that there won't be urges or desires so strong that we can't hold off against them. And even more, he says, all these urges you have, these things that are not from God, that lure you so much, there's nothing unusual about them. Everybody goes through them. And with God's strength, everybody can overcome them, because God won't let you be tempted more than you could bear, and God will always provide a way out. So the next time you're tempted by sin, whether it's pride or anger or greed, whatever it is, we can be reassured that there's nothing unique about us, and it won't be so great that we can't overcome it with God's help. That's the reassurance we find from 1 Corinthians 10. The problem with this is that oftentimes when we're tempted by sin, we aren't really looking for a way out. When we desire something that we shouldn't have, when we crave something that's bad for us, we're not looking for that path of righteousness that God offers to us. Most of the time, we're running as fast as we can towards that thing that we do not want. I have to admit, I have a little addiction to kitchen gadgets. Whether it's zesters or juicers or cookie scoops, I love them all. And before you judge me too much, you just think about what your dirty little secret is and what you like to buy, and know that I am not alone in this. But my kitchen is filled to the brim with kitchen gadgets to make cooking easier, make baking easier, make cleanup easier, just anything you can think of. I have it in my kitchen. And yet there's always something else that I want. So when I go to the store to buy groceries or to buy a new pair of pants, I never intend on going to the kitchen aisle because I already know that I have everything I need. But I think, well, maybe I'll just wander by. It'll be okay. I can resist going in if I just have to drive my cart right next to the kitchen department. It'll be fine. And then I see something and I'm like, oh, you know what? I can go in. I'll just look at it. It'll be okay. I go in, I pick up that beautiful new spatula, and those cooking people out there, you know that a spatula can be beautiful. I go in and I look at it and I think, wow, this is great. I have one just like it, but not quite just like it. And I hear that little voice in my head, you know, well, do you really need this? Can you survive without it? I hear Dave Ramsey saying, it's not in your budget, put it back. And do I listen? Do I listen to the opportunities God gives me to turn away from sin and temptation? No, I think I'll just put it in my cart and look at it for a while. I'm sure by the time I get to the checkout, I won't need it. I'll have come to my senses. And yet time and time again, all these little things come home with me, which is why I have to buy more and more kitchen storage, which I also love. But I can't resist the temptation. Though God gives me many opportunities to do better, many chances, reminders of how God invites me to live. And it makes me wonder just how often, when we are tempted by whatever it is tempts us, do we ignore the ways out God puts right before us? Do we choose to keep going down that path of temptation, just getting a little closer and a little closer, and then tell ourselves that there was nothing we could have done to avoid it? But the reassurance we have in 1 Corinthians 10 is that with God's help, we can do it. That God will give us the strength, that he won't allow us to be tempted so much that we can't resist, that we can come out victorious in the end. Because of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, we are made new and have the ability to live the life that God has called us to live. So the next time somebody says to you that God won't give you more than you can bear, it's true when you're talking about the temptations that we face, that God won't let us be overcome by our desires, but he gives us the strength to live life the way he has called us to live. The danger, though, with this saying is when we start applying it not to our temptations, but to our trials, those difficult times that we go through. And when we tell somebody who's sick with grief or overcome by pain that it'll all work out in the end because God won't give you more than you can handle, it doesn't always feel like a loving thing. Sometimes it can feel like an empty promise, or worse, like the person speaking to you doesn't understand what you're going through. It might make one wonder if they recognize the depth of the pain and the sin in this world. And it can almost feel demeaning, like if God won't give me more than I can handle, and I can't handle this, is there something wrong with me? Is it my fault that it hurts so much or that I struggle so deeply? Is God causing this pain for me? It's never what's intended when those words spill out of our mouth. But sometimes it's how it feels when somebody is dealing with something so deep and so raw. And I think if we're honest, there are times where the pain and suffering of this world are deeper and greater than any one of us could ever handle on our own. If this were not so, people wouldn't ever give up hope or be forced to take their lives out of desperation. People would never turn to drugs or drinking to numb the pain. The pain in this world is real, and it can overcome us at times. And in saying that there's never anything so great that you can't handle, I think we do a distruth to the world, not recognizing the pain that so many of us have experienced. So many of us might be experiencing this day. Fundamentally, we can't say that God won't give you more than you can handle because it's not true. There are weights so great that we cannot handle them, and we need God to redeem us. Maybe even more dangerous, though, is this unspoken implication that it's God that gives us these trials to begin with. To say that God won't give you more than you can handle subtly teaches us that it's God who gives us pain and suffering in this world. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the saying that everything happens for a reason. We came to realize that, yes, while everything does happen for a reason, that God is not that reason. That far more often we suffer and go through pain and hard times because of the pervasiveness of sin in this world. That people, you and me and others, make choices that hurt one another. And because of the broken nature of this world, all of us experience pain and suffering at one time or another. And although we wish it were so, Scripture never promises a life free of pain. God only promises to be with us when we suffer. It's not God's plan or desire that we would suffer, but it's a natural part of human existence. And while it breaks God's heart to see his children in pain, we all go through it at one time or another. Even God's son Jesus knew the hurt and rejection of this world, being betrayed, tortured, killed. But it's in his resurrection that we learn that death does not have the final word, but that love does. The promise of Scripture is that we never have to go through it alone. 1 Peter 5 says, "Throw all your anxiety onto God because he cares about you." God cares about each one of us. That no matter how tough things get, no matter how hard your life is, that you are never alone because God is there. That's the full truth that God has for us this morning. Not that God will never give you more than you can handle, but that God will help you handle all that you have been given. We proclaim that God does not cause our pain, and that yes, some days that pain is unbearable. But in God, we have all the help we will ever need. That's the reassurance we find in Psalm 23. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We can trust that when life gets so bad that we just don't know what to do anymore, that God is there, holding our hand, walking alongside of us, carrying us when we need him to. God is there in our friends and our family who offer support. God is here today as we are gathered as his people in worship. God is with us when we go to doctors and therapists and seek medication to heal ourselves. God is there when we seek him in prayer and call out to him, helping us put one foot after another, to take it one day at a time. There's much wisdom to be found in the saying that God will help you handle all that you've been given, and it's something we can cling to when life gets tough. Adam Hamilton says it well in his book, Half Truths. He says, "My trust in God is not that he won't give me more than I can bear, because I don't believe he's the one who would give me those things. It's not that God is testing me by bringing bad things into my life. Instead, I trust that when bad things happen during the course of life, God will sustain me, walk with me, hold me near, comfort and care for me. I can talk with God even when I can't see him, and he's as close as the air that I breathe. Though I might experience the pain of a traumatic event, I maintain faith that at some point, joy will overshadow the pain. I have witnessed it time and time again." That is the hope that we cling to, the truth that we proclaim, that one day the joy will overshadow the pain. Paul says it so well in Romans 8. He says, "Who can separate us from Christ's love? Who can separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by troubles or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loves us. I am convinced," he says, "that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or heights or depths or any other thing that is created. Nothing can separate us from the love of God." Absolutely nothing. So if you find yourself today going through a time of trial and the burdens feel so heavy that you cannot carry them alone, know that God is there for you. Cry out to him. Tell him your troubles. Trust that he is with you. And the next time we see somebody needing comfort, needing reassurance, needing to know God's love, why don't we offer the reassurance and the blessing that God will help us handle all that we have been given? Amen. Let us pray. God, how grateful we are for the ways that you walk with us in every moment of our lives. In these moments when we are tempted and tested, help us to remember that we can resist and that you will make a way out of temptation. You give us the strength we need when we turn to you. Lead us not to temptation as we would go, but in your path and away from evil. And when we walk through difficulty and adversity, help us to remember that these burdens did not come from you, but that you have said you would help us bear them. Thank you for the people who come along our path and help carry us through these challenging times. Help us to have eyes to see those around us who need your help and to see how we might be instruments of your help for them. How grateful we are, O God, that you are our refuge and our strength, our ever-present time and help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even when our world is falling apart. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.